I woke up this morning at 3:30 and I heard the rain. And my first thought was, I wonder if our roof is leaking. And then my second thought was, I'm becoming like my pastor. It's kind of scary. Some weeks, I think the gospel and the readings very clearly point to us in a direction. And so there's no need for me to get fancy as a preacher. It's kind of just take the direction the church is giving you. And this week it's clear that the church and the readings are pointing towards the mercy of God. The opening prayer mentions the mercy of God. The first reading mentions Moses praying for his people in the mercy of God. The second reading, Paul reflects upon the mercy of God in his own conversion. And then we have two parables in the gospel that show us the mercy of God. In many ways, I think the entire gospel is simply a revelation of God's mercy to sinners. It is sort of the culmination of the divine plan of salvation, which now ushers us into sort of these end times while the gospel spreads through the earth. The mercy of God is defined as God, in his goodness, removing the tribulation of a creature. God, in his goodness, removing some tribulation. And the greatest tribulation that afflicts us and afflicts our world is that of sin. And so the greatest act of mercy is God removing sort of sin in our lives. And that's what these two parables today express. The first one is a man leaving 99 sheep to go in search of one lost sheep. And the early Christians always understood that as the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, leaving the angels in heaven and taking on humanity to come seek us who was lost. The second parable is the woman who has lost a coin. And St. John Chrysostom, an early Christian, he pointed out that the coin, the drachma of that time, had an image on it of the king. And it represents the human person, the human soul, because we have the image of the king upon us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We receive the seal of baptism. And so once again, Christ is leaving the choirs of angels, taking on humanity to redeem us, to seek what was lost. Christ came into the world to call sinners. The approach that God took to remove sin from us was sort of a three-pronged approach. There are three aspects to it. And they match the three aspects or the three offices of Christ, priest, prophet, king. Summed up in John 14 when the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he says, I am the way, he's referring to his pastoral or his kingly office. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, she foretold that Jesus would reign over the house of Jacob forever, that his kingdom would have no end. In Matthew 25, our Lord says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Revelation calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Christ came into the world to overthrow the kingdom of Satan and to allow the kingdom of God to break into the world. And he did this by giving us the laws of the gospel, right? The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the law of love in John. What the Lord is trying to do, because the kingdom of God is ultimately within, is he's trying to win the hearts and the minds of his people. He's trying to establish within our hearts his kingdom, his reign. Our hearts should be a throne for Christ the King. And then the church should let the reign of God spread throughout the world. Christ also came as the truth. He was a teacher. One of the effects of sin is sort of the darkness and ignorance which we have. We don't quite see things clearly. We're slaves to the father of lies, to Satan. And so Christ came bearing truth from on high. He is the true light which enlightens every man. And so he came to overthrow the darkness of ignorance and to enlighten us, to teach us with his truths, and ultimately to give us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, which guides us in all truth, and to found his church, the pillar of truth, as Paul calls it. And finally, Christ came to give us life through his priestly office. It is the duty of a priest to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. And Christ, upon the cross, offered his own flesh. He bore the burden of our sins, and he made peace with the blood of his cross and gave us life. He rules, he teaches, and he gives us life through his sacrifice. And in that way, God removes sin from the world and from us. And what then we are called to do is to spread the mercy of God throughout the world. In the 1960s, when the Second Vatican Council was talking about the laity, they envisioned this notion that the laity would be kind of set loose onto the world, all of you, because they recognized that priests like myself, I'm not really in the world. I have a rectory, I have a parish. You all are in far more contact with people. You are in far more contact with people that need converted and need to hear the gospel. And so what they hoped was that you would come to Mass, you would receive the word of the gospel, you would receive the word, Jesus Christ, in the Eucharist, you would be filled with the laws of the gospel, with the truths of the gospel, and with the love of Christ, and that would fill your hearts, and then you would take it out into the world. You would be sort of another light of Christ into the world, in your workplaces, in your families, the way you treat people, the way you love one another, the way you forgive, the way you bear the burdens of one another. All of that is supposed to spread the mercy and the love of God throughout the world. And if we each would do that in our own lives, then we would see the kingdom of God conquer the world, and we would convert it.